B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. I thought of you yesterday, Trey. It had nothing to do with sports. It had to do with the French language that you're so fluent in now.
Fluent.
Walking around, the Flyers are playing the Canadiens.
Uh-huh.
The Habitants.
Yeah.
Welcome in Twitch, by the way, as well.
I did take like a year or so of French.
Did you?
Yeah, during my playing days.
Why?
Something to do.
Oh, during your playing days.
Yeah.
Now, as an adult, I have respect for people that took French.
Yeah.
Like, people that took it in high school, not so much.
I had to take it in 7th and 8th grade, and I remember Je m'appelle Jamie. That's about it.
Is that because the servants spoke French in the house? Is that why?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Je t'aime la fromage.
Which that was the cheese.
I like cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And I only know that because of a Chris Fowler ESPN College Game Day commercial for some reason. I never took French. My wife took French. I don't know what. Why do we offer French in school? Why is that a thing? Why do we offer that?
Sexy.
I don't know.
Just because it's sexy.
Like, Spanish, we should all have, really learned Spanish. That would have been nice. And then, in my school, where, a lot of the kids were Italian, nobody, they didn't teach Italian at the time.
Yeah, French is sexy.
That's the only reason.
Exactly.
But who's doing business
reason is there?
In French talk?
Who cares?
At least
it's
Italian.
Sexy.
At least Italian. It's kind of like French. It's kind of like Spanish. I know people that can speak Spanish to Italian people, and they know what they're saying.
It's the base of the Romance languages.
French is sexy.
Spanish is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We should all, I took 8 years of Spanish. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I hate myself for it.
Really?
It's
one of my big regrets in life, was wasted in piano lessons and language.
Ah, piano lessons is something I wish I was,
Well, I'm walking around the Wells Fargo Center last night, and I see Flyers PR guru Zach Hill.
Best in the business.
Best in the business. If I could come back in any not as a non-athlete, but involved in Philadelphia sports, I'd come back as Zach Hill. All right? I'm not kidding when I say that. And I'm seeing Zach, and he's walking down the hallway, and he's got his, at the Wells Fargo Center, and he's got his arms outstretched like he's blocking people. And I'm like, what the hell is Zach doing? And then he turns the corner a little bit more. I see a camera, and it's shown on two TV personalities that I don't recognize. And sure enough, the guys walk by me, and they're like, pretty much. And I'm like, oh, Trey knows what those people are saying.
Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Romantic, yeah.
Romantic.
A romantic skunk.
Yes, he was.
Exactly.
Do you think if anyone who's French right now is listening is really offended? Do you think anyone's really pissed off that we're just like, French, and then I do that French voice and probably very offensive?
You're saying all French.
Well, no,
I appreciate the French language.
Yes, but you're also
very sexy.
Pepe Le Pew.
Me and my mom, I come in there, bonjour.
I bet you a French person's going like Donald Duck.
Donald Duck.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, now that would be great if that's how they envision all Americans to talk. Like Donald Duck. Oh, look at Bobby with the impression. So it's a grade one sprain of the AC joint in the right shoulder of Ben Simmons. And I thought that we had an appropriate reaction to this yesterday, which was Ben Simmons has missed 3 games in his NBA career. When he hasn't had a broken foot, he's missed 3 games. Like, that's a tough guy. Like, that's a guy that I would label as a guy that wants to gut it out, a guy that wants to play, a guy that's willing to play through injury.
Uh-huh.
And then I listened to Tracy McGrady yesterday, and he gets asked on that show, The Jump.
An AC shoulder sprain, Mark, is... Entorse à la palais. I can't even do it.
Is that the French talk?
Yeah.
All right.
I tried, and I failed.
Good for you. You made the effort. But I listened to Tracy McGrady yesterday on The Jump, and he gets asked about how the Sixers are going to fare without Ben Simmons if they've missed him for a couple of games. Are the Sixers going to struggle? And he's like, no. He's like, have you seen their squad? They're pretty damn good. But here's the thing that irks me the most. I don't think Ben Simmons is going to miss a big amount of time. And by the way, your boy Brian Windhorst, Jamie, your best friend.
Wendy.
Wendy. He came out with, if they're saying sprain, that means it's ligaments. So we should all be worried kind of thing. We have the audio. We'll play it a little bit later. But I look at the Celtics right now, and I hate the fact that the Sixers have to look up at the Celtics. Because they have rattled off, 6 straight wins since losing to the Sixers on opening night?
6-1.
So they are one game better than the 76ers as we sit here today. with the Sixers about to play the Nuggets tonight, and they can't lose three in a row, according to Joel Embiid.
Only did it once last year.
Only lost three in a row. I looked it up last year as well.
Did you?
I
did that yesterday.
Because I was like, okay, wait, how'd they do last year before they stacked the team, so to speak?
Yeah.
So how are they going to fare without Ben Simmons, I think, is a big question. And how are they going to fare tonight against a team like the Nuggets, where you have to have Joel Embiid carry a lot of the workload, Al Horford do what he's been doing, which is carry a lot of the workload, and have a guy like Tobias Harris step up and hopefully have more than a 16-point game when your point guard's out. Then, yeah, you also have to look at guys like how a guy like, Josh Richardson's going to do if he gets in the point guard spot, Howell Neto, and whether or not we're actually going to see Trey Burke tonight play for the Nuggets. And I bring all this up to start things out because we have a phenomenal giveaway today. Trey, this might be the best giveaway we have had since we started the program.
Mm-hmm.
These are court-level seats for the Sixers. I believe we're only one row removed from being on top of the action. But mm-hmm. regardless, you're going to be on top of the action when it comes to this game. And this
you're in sweat shrapnel area.
You could, if a player dives into the stand, you're right there to catch Joel Embiid.
You'll be on camera a lot, too. Tell your friends.
Yeah, right.
You're right behind the basket. That camera shows it all the time. You're going to be on TV all night.
Yeah, well, starting today at 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., we're going to start playing a little game, Sixer Jersey Math. Every jersey has a number. We're going to do a little math with those numbers. At the top and bottom of every hour, 7 a.m. until 9:30 a.m., we're going to give you a name of a current Sixers player. And what you have to do is what we're going to do here is mathematically, you'll take that jersey number and you're going to do the addition, subtraction, you're going to add them all up from 7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at the top and bottom of every hour. And at the end of it, you got to come up with the correct mathematical answer. When you add those jersey numbers, for instance, you know, you have like Ben Simmons, what, 21? What's Ben Simmons? 25. Joel Embiid's 21. You add them up, you subtract them, whatever you have to do. We're going to give the instructions throughout the show today from 7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Take the number on that jersey number, add, subtract. We have one multiplication in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, these are good tickets we're giving away here. And this is what you'll win. You'll win two tickets to a second row seat. Two tickets to second row seats for Sunday's 6 p.m. game against the Hornets. You'll be sitting with Trey and Jamie. You guys are going to the game.
Yeah.
Look at that. You guys are making out in this, too.
We're going to go hang out.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah. So we're going to do some jersey math, Sixer jersey math for this. You'll get a parking pass and comp food and drinks.
Oh, I'm going to get my money's worth. Coming hungry.
And this is all courtesy of the wonderful people of Rothman Orthopedics. Don't let pain in your back, your shoulders, your knees, or hips stop you from doing what you love. Turn to Rothman experts at Rothman Orthopedics, proud orthopedic partner of the 76ers. This is from our incredible client, and they're asking Trey and Jamie to tag along with Rothman on social form as well, social from the game on Sunday for amazing tickets. Rothman Orthopedics is taking care of us, but Trey and Jamie will be, of course, tagging Rothman Orthopedics at Rothman Ortho while at the game, and it's absolutely an incredible giveaway. You're going to be just a row from all the action. Joel Embiid dives into the stands, boom, right there. Hit with sweat, as Jamie said. Great selling point.
Yeah.
People like the realness of that. I hope it's not JoJo going into the stands. I hope it's somebody like Howell Neto.
Yeah.
Somebody you could catch.
Once as a kid, I was a huge LaSalle University basketball fan. Some friends gifted my dad and I tickets to go see the Los Angeles Clippers play the Sixers so that I could go watch Randy Woods.
Oh, okay.
And I sat on the court, and this is the best seats I'll ever have for an NBA game. So I'm very excited.
Very good. So again, here's how we're going to do it. Starting at 7 o'clock, we're going to give you the number of a Sixers player. Just as an example, like Furkan Korkmaz is 51. Okay. Jerky Furky from Turkey. He's 51. Then at 7:30, we're going to give you another number. We're going to tell you to add or subtract that player's jersey number. At the end of the show, at about 9:45, we're going to take calls and see who gets the right answer from the day-long math equation. Basically, Trey, it's know the show on steroids.
Yes.
And you can win two tickets plus the opportunity to hang out with Trey Thomas and Jamie Lynch. That's a full day, right?
Yes, it is.
That's
full day.
Sunday, 6 o'clock tip-off, 6 p.m. against the Hornets.
Just for clarification, Furkan is number 30. It's okay.
You're correct.
It's okay. I got you. I just wanted to make sure, you know, we didn't put any... I'm not correcting you, Mark.
No,
or
you are
like
correcting
that,
me, and I appreciate
you. But I just
doing
don't
that.
Want people to be like, wait, what's going on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, right. No.
So just know your Sixers jersey numbers. That's all we ask of you.
Fun with
and
math.
And you'll have fun with it.
Fun with math. Thank you very much. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. But we come here on this Friday of the bye week, and Ron Jaworski will join us at 7 o'clock. 9:30 today, we'll be joined by Matt Klentak. It's Philly's general manager. He's been a busy little bee since the last time we talked to him.
Uh-huh.
The last time we talked to him, they signed Bryce Harper, and that was before they signed Bryce Harper. They went and added JT Realmuto, and since then, JT Realmuto has been the shining star of that offseason. Bryce Harper, great, and we know that, the star power he has throughout Major League Baseball, but JT Realmuto has been just racking up awards since being signed. An All-Star, Gold Glove, and now a Silver Slugger.
Yeah.
Is Matt Klentak thinking, oh, look at me. Look how great I am with the trade that I made here to get JT Realmuto? Or is he thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching,
yeah,
cha-ching.
Damn, stop racking up these awards.
That's, that's kind of what some people might be thinking. If you're Matt Klentak, if you're in his shoes. So we're going to find out. And then they also hired, obviously, Joe Girardi. They fired Gabe Kapler. So I want to know a couple of things from Matt Klentak. I want to know why a guy like Dallas Keuchel wasn't even looked at. I got to go through some revisionist history. We all do.
Sure.
If they regret looking at the starting five of their rotation with such admiration going into the season, with such hope, with such optimism, and why a guy like Dallas Keuchel wasn't added to this roster. $13 million. He made 21 starts, including the playoffs for the Braves last year. Had an ERA less than 4. Would have had the best ERA on your squad. And you chose not to add that guy. Please don't do that when we ask him the question.
Okay.
I ask you that.
Does that make it worse?
Yeah, a little bit. But I want to know that. And then I want to know, last year they invested $330 million in one player in Bryce Harper. Can fans expect another big money acquisition this offseason? Because Gerrit Cole's going to be out there. Cole Hamels said recently that he would like to come back to Philadelphia, he would love to come back to Philadelphia if he's in their plans.
Right.
So we'll ask him about that.
Steven Strasburg, Anthony Rendon. There's a lot of guys out there.
Cole,
All these guys are out there. Wheeler out there, formerly of the Mets, will be a free agent as well.
He terrifies me.
So there's a lot of guys that are available, but all those guys are other big money acquisitions. It's not necessarily relying on Spencer Howard to come up and be a savior, or Alec Boehm, or even Mickey Moniak and all that, right? It's spending money to be good now. What can Philly fans expect from this Phillies organization in the not-too-distant future? Will it be big money spending, or will it be waiting on the younger guys to develop?
And the last time we had Matt on, very talkative and very upfront.
Yeah,
you
really.
Know, I mean, he's not out in front of the media a whole lot. But when he does, he opens up. And the last time we had him on, he was a great, great guest. So it's a good get today. 9:30 is going to be a lot of fun talking to him.
Trey, you asked him boxes or brief?
Huh?
You asked him boxers or briefs?
No, we asked him commando.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
We asked him if, you know.
What was that in relation to?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember.
We didn't make it up on our own.
Yeah, we didn't make it up on our own. It was something. It probably was a study. It was science.
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. 610-632-0975. So we got so much today, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Ron Jaworski at 7, because I want to know what exactly happened with his best bye week ever. Because, Trey, you would go down to Miami. You'd kick it in Miami.
I would go down to Miami and just hang out for a couple days.
There you go. That's a nice relaxing vacation.
Or recharge the battery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I would definitely be wheels up.
All right. I had a realization. And, you know, you take time, and Bob and Jamie, I heard you guys going over the grades for every position yesterday. We just talked about Carson Wentz. But I was trying to think of any other time we had watched a wide receiving core like this struggle as much as they have throughout the season. And I can't really remember. I mean, I remember being pissed off that you only had Pinkston, you only had James Thrash and all that. And I'm like, man, I can't remember a time where you were looking at these guys going, what do they offer? And I really don't see a lot that they're offering. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, I give him credit. He tries to gut through the injury, and we've talked about that a lot. But guys like Nelson Agholor, guys like Matt Collins and Arthego Whiteside and all that, I'm like, what really separates them? Because they're very similar in talent. We talk about the defensive backs a lot. and how they're all kind of bunched in a very similar talent level. Nobody's really great. Nobody's a shutdown corner. But there's guys that go out there and compete. And I was like, what is the difference between those guys that have actually played pretty well over the last couple of weeks, and what's the difference between them and the receiving core? And I came down to one thing. And it's a cliche high school Harry type of thing, but I really think it applies here. It comes down to want to. It comes down to heart. And I'm thinking Jalen Mills is not a Pro Bowl caliber defensive back,
right.
A Pro Bowl caliber corner. But the guy competes. He puts himself in spots where he can try to break up passes, intercept passes, and he's always there and he wants to make the play. You see that with a guy like Jalen Mills. Nelson Agholor gets to the spot, runs the route, and then when push comes to shove, when the moment matters most, doesn't make the play. That the only difference between Jalen Mills and a guy like Nelson Agholor is the fact that Jalen Mills wants to make the play.
Yes.
The only difference is heart and want to and determination. Those three, those qualities, that mindset is really what you could all encompass that under, is really the only difference between those two. If you had Jalen Mills and took his mindset and his competitive nature and put it in Nelson Agholor, the Eagles would be off in a much better spot right now.
If you took Jalen Mills' attitude and put it in most Eagles, you'd be a Super Bowl champion.
Absolutely.
and I don't want to make it seem like...
And that's such a compliment to Jalen Mills.
But I also don't want to make it seem like I think Jalen Mills is some like all-pro
corner. He's not Deion Sanders.
But
he's got the heart of a Deion Sanders.
Damn right he does.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm trying to think about the problems that this team has faced through the first half of the season before this bye week. And I'm trying to figure out why we're in the position that we're in now. Why isn't this team anything close to what we thought they would be before the season started? And I hate going to injuries, but DeSean Jackson's absence has been felt 1,000 times more than I even thought it would be. A guy like Malik Jackson on the defensive line, that's been felt. You finally have Tim Jernigan back, so that's good. But why? What's the number one reason that the Eagles are in the position that they're in right now? 5-4 on the season, looking up at the Cowboys who have the Vikings this weekend, a little primetime action Sunday night when they take on the Vikings. What's the number one reason, Trey? If I had to ask you, the number one reason they're in the position they're in right now, what would it be?
I would think the receiving group, the receiving core, not making plays. I mean, you know, Carson went out there, put the ball in certain situations, but I think you go back to the Detroit game. I mean, Whiteside not catching the ball. You go back to Atlanta when you had DeSean Jackson go down, and then DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey go down, and then you have to have the backups come in and make some plays, and yeah, they didn't make any plays for you.
Is there anything else to look? I mean, I know that the D-line could have gotten to the quarterback, but the whatever they faced a guy like Matt Ryan, the ball was out in a second and a half. I mean, God, even Case Keenum in the start of the year was getting rid of the football fast. You weren't having opportunities for your DNs to get at the quarterback, and you were at the time very rarely blitzing your linebackers or your safeties.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at it and you go, all right, well, D-line, you can't really get all that mad at because they were game planned for very well. They were beating their guy, but the ball was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver, you would have to think, is the position that most people are pointing at going, how come these guys haven't done better? Is there any other thing you could really blame? I mean, look, I want to say, if you really look at it, the injuries have been a huge factor for that, but no one ever wants to blame injuries. Make the adjustment to the game plan. So you try to get guys involved like Matt College, you try to get guys involved like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Arcega-Whiteside drops the ball against the Lions. He's barely seen or heard from again since that point. Right now, I don't think anyone else can look at any other position group and say, why isn't this team better? I mean, Bob, you look at the wide receivers, it's got to be the biggest blemish on this roster.
It does. I still feel like you have a quarterback that can overcome it better than a defense that can overcome a horrendous defensive backfield. So that's where I'm going. Like, you asked Trey, what's the reason? My reasoning is defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. You can say injury, whatever, but look at in the three losses, you've given up 27, 37, 38 points in three losses. That's horrible. And we know how carved up they got by those quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, Cousins, and who else am I thinking of? Well, Matthew Stafford. I mean, they got completely torn up, especially earlier in the year. Now, they've looked better lately, and we're a reactive town, and we're not going defense so much lately because they played Buffalo and they played Chicago, two horrendous offensive teams. But if you go back before that, I mean, let's not forget how piss poor this defense has been. I mean, what Dallas did against them when they ran a tight end on a little, you know, out and they throw a touchdown pass and one of the announcers says it's the most wide open he's ever seen a player for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. When you're running misdirections and nobody's even near you. I mean, this defense, especially the secondary, for the most part, has been horrendous.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that secondary. That was going to be my next one. You know, when you look at it, because, I mean, you go back to the Minnesota game, Malcolm Jenkins being out of position several times.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, this has been one of the situations that we've been really struggling with, is that secondary receiving core and secondary, you know, up until now, it's starting to come around a little bit. You know, who would have thought, man, having Jalen Mills back in there makes you feel a little comfortable.
It really does. You have somebody there that, like I said, wants to make that play every time. Yeah. He's not shying away from the moment.
The
reality is, when Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby start, this team is 15-5.
Darby's missed time as well.
Yeah.
So they have
played Buffalo and Chicago.
I'm not
so
saying
far,
that that's
two.
A 20 game sample size, though.
No, I hear you. I do hear you.
That's an undeniable fact. It's shocking. I agree with you. Jalen Mills is not great, but he wants to win.
I love stats like that because it's like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to hate these guys. What the hell?
People told me Jalen Mills bites on double moves and he sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
he's lost three times. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But nonetheless, those are the numbers and whatever.
Well, you got Tom Brady and Russell Wilson coming to town. So you want a test? You got a test.
Here you go.
Here it comes.
It's like those biographies about the musicians who go completely broke. It's like, and after this, it all came crashing down. Like, oh, they faced Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. So let's see how they really do.
Before we go any further.
Yes, sir.
I got to give congratulations to my man, Donovan McNabb. Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame inductees last night.
Oh, nice, man. How was that?
It was an amazing time. Really enjoyed it.
Jason Stark and Donovan McNabb, both morning show contributors, now both Hall of Famers. Coincidence?
Hall of Famers. Look at that.
I don't think so.
I think we're a bunch of kingmakers.
Yeah.
I think we did it. I think we pushed them over the top.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time.
That's good.
Really good time.
How's Five doing?
He's doing good. His speech was good.
Nice.
Came in, gave some acknowledgement,
Did he tell them that number five will always love them?
No, he didn't say that.
Did he acknowledge the offensive line throughout as well? Okay, good.
Of course. That's why I love going to visit. I love seeing my brothers get recognized.
That's nice.
You know, because then, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm being recognized because of my put in the work to get them there.
Trey goes,
I love it.
I can see you showing up and he's like, this punk better friggin' thank me.
Oh, no, I stand up as soon as he starts.
Yeah, exactly,
Stare at him. No, he was like, hey, and I got to say, you know, so I can't be here without any. Before he even finishes, I'm already standing up, taking a bow. thank you. Oh, you're welcome.
Acting like, oh, I'm so surprised that you would thank me. Oh, yeah. My God.
But it was good. Good times.
Yeah, I want more on that later.
Yeah.
I need deets. I need the deets.
Some of the speeches was, you know.
That's why we got to get into it. But the other thing is, I actually have the secondary as number three on my list.
Wow. You know what?
Number two, coaching.
Hmm.
The fact that we have seen this team have success on the ground like they did in Green Bay, then they get away from it, and then they get back to it, and oh, what do you know? They have success again. That comes down to coaching. It comes down to play calling. We have seen no creativity. I mean, sparingly, I should say, because you see it with that screen game like we did in Green Bay. You saw it most recently last weekend. This team has that ability. They have an offensive line that can do it, and they get away from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that comes down to coaching. Some creativity. Jim Schwartz, look, I understand it's position, but still, at the same time, it's still coaching, Trey. Twice now, we have seen too many men on the field, a guy running off the field, not enough men on the field. Like, what the hell is going on with this? This is basic stuff. This is stuff that should be addressed in training, mini camp even.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen coaching kind of make us slam our heads against the wall throughout the entire season. Matt Collins can't get involved, and I think Whiteside with the offense. Like, what are you doing with the young talent on this team that you're trying to develop? That all comes down to coaching. And I go coaching number two after how poorly the wide receivers have been. And it's not just coaching to talk up and build up the wide receivers. It's also coaching when it comes to how the defensive unit is played as a whole.
Yeah, you make a good point. And I said it to Jamie at the 5 o'clock hour. It seems to me that Doug Peterson is just like a step behind a lot of times. 2 years ago, oh, come on, you need to go to the running game. Then he goes to the running game. This year, come on, where's the running game? Then they go to the running game. Defense, you guys, why aren't you guys pressing up? You know, why aren't you blitzing more? Then comes the blitz. It's almost like public outcry is what makes these coaches make adjustments sometimes. That should be happening, and then we should be reacting, as opposed to us saying stuff and then it happening.
Exactly, where we're the assistants to
it seems like
assistants.
Roll that blunt.
Sam Wilson, here's what I want to do for the Twitter poll today. I'd like to ask people, there's one key matchup that most people will be watching this weekend in Philadelphia, and it comes down to the Cowboys and the Vikings. We usually ask, are the Eagles going to win this weekend? Are the Cowboys going to lose this weekend? That's what I want to know. While the Eagles are kicking their feet up, enjoying the bye week, will the Cowboys lose this weekend? They play Sunday night against the Vikings. Sunday night football action.
Mm-hmm.
Will the Cowboys lose? Will they drop to, what would it be now for them, 5-4 on the season?
Yeah.
Even with the Eagles?
That is correct.
And the rest of the season to go.
Should I put in parentheses, they play the Vikings?
No. No, because I don't think anybody cares. They just want to say that the Cowboys are going to lose.
Yeah, I see where it comes from.
Thank you very much. All right, now coming up, like I said, at 7 o'clock today, we're going to do a little Jersey math. It's basically Know the Show on steroids, Trey, where we're going to give you the jersey number of a 76ers player. We're going to give you a bunch of them throughout the show at the top and bottom of every hour starting at 7 o'clock, and you have to do the math. Adding, subtracting, one multiplication problem here. We mentioned earlier Ben Simmons, number 25. We mentioned, a guy like Joel Embiid, number 21. You know, maybe you have to add those two numbers. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. But we're going to throw you the number. And then at the end of the show, if you have the right answer for the long math equation, then guess what? You're going to find yourself sitting on the court level of the 76ers-Hornets game on Sunday night at 6 p.m. with Trey Thomas and Jamie Lynch. You and a friend will be sitting with Trey and Jamie. Bob, is there anything better than that?
Not that I know of, no.
I don't think there's anything better than that.
No.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Why are the Eagles where they are right now at 5-4? What's the number one reason for why they have not met expectations that we had from the start of the season? Time of the Fanatic, 6:23.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So I was watching this little jump thing yesterday, the jump on ESPN,
okay.
And I wasn't really worried about Ben Simmons, and I'm mostly not right now. I talked to somebody yesterday who actually had the same injury, a grade one sprain of the AC joint in the right shoulder and all that. They said they missed 7 days. They were a hockey player.
I wanted to make sure they were athletes.
Yeah,
because you know how people get sometimes.
Yes, I know. Yeah, they were. They weren't. No, I. Whenever the average Joe calls up with, "Well, I had that same injury," and it's like, "Yeah, but you're not a professional. Like, it's different. Like, first off, you didn't have like the trainers with you every day the way a professional athlete did. You're not probably in the shape that a professional athlete was in.
You're not getting the stimulation on there 24/7 coming into their hotel room.
But you do know how much it sucks.
You know how much it sucks.
I blew out my ACL, MCL, and part of my meniscus all in one shot. I can tell you the rehab sucks.
That I'll agree with.
And it hurts.
But can you tell me how long a professional athlete is going to miss?
No.
That's my main point.
No, that I can't, but I can tell you surgery sucks.
Trey medical degree.
Yeah. I like the point right before you go out. That little sweet spot right there.
Actually, rehab is way worse than surgery. If it's a serious injury,
I'm sure.
Rehab is just awful. People are cruel, but they do nice work.
But Tracy McGrady made me feel a little bit better about everything when it came to Ben Simmons and this injury. Tracy McGrady was on the jump yesterday being asked about, by Rachel Nichols about the depth of this 76ers team.
Tracy, are the Sixers in trouble if Simmons has to miss any extended time?
Nope. In the Eastern Conference, they're fine. Al Horford, Joel Embiid, they're going to carry the load. I don't see him missing significant amount of time. I remember early in the season, I dealt with a torn labrum. And you talk about painful, have to go through the season. And I'm a shooter, a scorer. Ben Simmons is not that, right? So he doesn't have, and it's on his non shooter.
Every injury Tracy's had.
That's true. It's sad. That's why he needed load management.
I'm not worried about it at all. They got enough to hold down the fort in the Eastern Conference.
About that, they're good to go. Yeah. Listen to the confidence right there. We get accused of being homers. Tracy McGrady's laughing at the idea of the Sixers struggling without Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my friends yesterday. I said, it's all right. It's his non-shooting shoulder. And he said, how do you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good question. Solid question. Supposedly. I've never seen a player that's has it. It's a shooting, non-shouldering shooter.
Come on, you can do it. Non-shooting shoulders.
Shoulder. Allegedly. You know what I mean? It's like you either know it's that or it's not. No, allegedly his non-shooting shoulder. Hey. And then Jamie's buddy, Wendy, Brian Windhorst.
He loves Windhorst.
Oh, God, he loves Wendy. You've heard of the Woj bomb?
Yeah.
You pass wind.
Yeah.
That's when he breaks the story.
You don't want a Wendy in your face.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But he was a little bit more on the Debbie Downer.
Shocking. It's not talking about LeBron.
Yeah, right. So here's Brian Windhorst on Ben Simmons' injury.
I've never had a shoulder injury, but what I know from people who have, like Tracy, is that shoulder injuries heal slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the word sprain, which means that there's ligament damage.
Right.
So let's not freak out, but it's not something that he's going to come back from A-okay tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah. He's not, because tomorrow is today, and he's not playing tonight.
Wait, breaking news. Wendy's never had a shoulder injury?
Don't just leave
surprised.
It at that.
They're joking.
Not
there
at
somewhere.
All. No, Bob, there's nothing going on here.
He has sprained his ankle.
Where were you going?
He was
nowhere.
Going.
Where were you going, Jamie?
Nowhere.
I'm saving you from yourself.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. I'm shocked.
Hamstring.
Yeah. I'm shocked Wendy's never had a shoulder injury. That's all.
It is. I didn't know that either.
Sports hernia.
If you're Woj, how do you not tweet out? If you're Woj, how do you not tweet out breaking news? Brian Windhorst never had a shoulder injury.
Are you surprised?
All right. So here's the bottom line. You listen to Tracy McGrady. I talked to a hockey player yesterday who said he missed 7 days with the same type of injury, right? He asked what kind of grade it was. I said it was a grade one. He's like, yeah, I'll be fine. Like it's a matter
that's
of
a hockey player.
It's a matter of a yeah. So if it's a hockey player saying that, it's going to be a guy that's going to be, I would say, I don't know, miss a month. No, I would expect Ben Simmons to miss 2 games.
But Tracy's right. It's not like he's a shooter where, you know, he finishes around the rim and he can do it with his other hand. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this. What I am worried about, though, is how all this works out together. When you add in the fact that Joel Embiid looked like he was just dogged at the end of the game yesterday, 2 days ago, and he misses those 2 games with a suspension. I don't want these guys to miss time playing. I mean, you already know, built in, you're going to miss 15 games with Joel Embiid. You already know that Al Horford is going to need a little load management as well. And then Ben Simmons misses a couple of games with an injury that hopefully isn't lingering. Like, that's where I start. It's not so much just the injury with Ben Simmons. It's that you've only had Joel Embiid for, he's already missed 3 games this season. Al Horford has been putting a little extra work because you've missed Embiid. It's not exactly the start to the season that I want. They have 5-2, whatever. But when it comes to just the load management, the injury, whatever it is with these guys not being on the court at the same time together, that's not exactly the start that I would have wanted at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, of the 7 games they've played so far, Simmons and Embiid have only played 3 together.
Yeah,
and now it's gonna go further and further. Ben Simmons has played 3 whole games with Al Horford. Joel Embiid has only played 4. You know, it's just this mixed match of you're trying to figure it out. I think the way they have to get through this, I have a number in my head. The way they, what I would like to see them getting through this without Ben Simmons, I want to see, not that it's going to happen every night without him, I want to see Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid combined for 60.
There you go.
That's the number in my head, yeah.
All right, let's see how they fare. Let's see how they fare tonight.
Yeah, something like that. I really want to see Tobias Harris start going off offensively a little bit.
That would give me the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
Because, Trey, we had talked about that coming over from the Clippers. Great offensive numbers that he had out there. The rebounds, the three-point percentage, they were on pace with a guy like, the three-point percentage was on pace with a guy like Steph Curry when he came over here. So I'd like to see him get back in those numbers. Now, I'm not saying that'll be the norm for him, but that's the type of offensive player you traded for, mm-hmm. and you haven't seen him get to that level yet. I'd like to see that on a more consistent basis from Tobias Harris. That's what I want to see from him. 610-632-0975. Let's get to our friend Alejandro.
I got a little bit more in his tank.
That was ship, right? You're in the ship?
Yes, he said ship.
The last time this guy had over 100 yards was against... I think it was against Atlanta. I'm not sure. I think he had like 108 for like eight catches.
Who?
Nelson Aguilar.
Mm. Yeah, well, he did have 45-yard catch at the end of the game, yeah.
So he's averaging one to two catches the last couple games. So my thing is, let's get this. I know he's been messing up, but we're going to need him. We're going to need him. We're going to need people to be scared. And right now, they're not scared of nothing that we throw out. So... they got this week off or whatever. I think Aguilar got to go in with Wentz. They got to do something. They got to, start a little fire together. I don't know, man. I think if they throw the ball eight to ten times at him, he's going to average at least 15 to 20 yards.
That's a lot of targets, Alejandro. Thanks for the call, man, for a guy like Nelson Aguilar. If you're Carson Wentz, how are you supposed to trust him? I'm shocked that Carson Wentz even looked his way deep down the field two different occasions last weekend. I mean, you looked at him in the one play where he just melted when somebody touched him and he went down like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
And then he had an opportunity to make a play with Prince Amukamara down the sideline and he just bailed on it. At least that's what it looked like.
He's got to look at people. I mean, he's got to look at those guys. He's got to look at the Mac Hollinses, the Nelson Aguilars. If not, he's playing in a phone booth. Mm-hmm. And that's no way to have an offense rolling.
I want to talk about motivation in a second. And we started the show by talking about Jalen Mills and the motivation he has, and he's always determined to make the play. But does a guy like Nelson Aguilar get any kick in the ashtray with a guy like Jordan Matthews coming back to the Eagles wide receiving corps? We'll talk about that in a minute on this fine Football Friday on the Fanatic, brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Coming up top of the hour, Ron Jaworski will join us, and we'll also give you the first jersey number in our jersey math for 76ers tickets, courtesy of Rothman Orthopedics. We'll be giving you a Sixers jersey number every top and bottom of the hour. And by the end of the show, you add, subtract, maybe a little multiplication. By the end of the show, if you have the correct answer after all the numbers from the Sixers jerseys, you'll win yourself a pair of tickets to go see the Sixers versus the Hornets on the court level with Trey Thomas and Jamie Lynch. Nothing better than that. Time of the Fanatic, 6:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit unitedrentals.com. All right, coming up in about 7 minutes, we're going to give you our first jersey number for jersey math. 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30. We're going to be giving you 76er jersey numbers. We'll give you the math problem to go along with it. And at the end of the show, when you give you all the numbers, we're going to let you know what's the winning answer for a pair of court-level tickets to Sixers-Hornets on Sunday at 6 p.m. Trey, you'll be there. There you go.
Sure will.
front and center, ready to go.
You might even play. You played in Russia.
Yeah, I did play in Russia.
How was the event last night with Donovan getting inducted?
It was amazing. It was a beautiful event. You guys showed up early, got there nice and early for the VIP hour, I guess.
The open bar?
Yeah, for the open bar. Yeah, I got there for the bar.
Okay.
And, just hung out. You know, it was good to see the guys. You know, it's always fun. Like, anytime you see any of you guys that you play with, it's like you're right back in the locker room on the back of the plane. You know, and it's just good to see the guys, you know, just having a good time.
Who was on there? Troy Vincent went in also,
yeah,
right?
Troy Vincent, yeah. Bobby Pensbury's Taylor was
finest.
There. Yeah. Let's see. You had Spikes was there.
How's his neck and traps looking? Still outrageous.
Presenting beautifully. Very strong.
What neck?
That's a good point. How are his traps looking?
Yeah, very strong. Very strong. Let's see.
His ears just go into his traps. Yeah. It's amazing.
It was cool. Lil Boots Westbrook was there. You know. Let's see. Todd Harriman was there. The Todd father. Ryan and then.
How long was the longest speech?
The longest speech, now they were supposed to only go like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't time it. But I think the longest speech was probably about 30 minutes. I don't know.
No.
Nah, my man probably went maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Wait, you say your man. Do you mean Donovan?
No. Someone else. Yeah.
How long was Donovan?
Donovan was probably like around 2.5-3 minutes.
Hey!
Yeah, 5 was good. 5 was good.
All right.
I made sure I took some time, though, because I wanted him, once he acknowledged the players, I take your time.
Slow down.
Slow down. You don't need to rush through this process. You know, take the time.
My middle name is Wyatt.
Yes. You know, I was born in DeLand, 11/20, 1974. It was a beautiful day. It was sunny outside.
Of course it was.
Yeah. So
there was a double rainbow.
Yeah, it was good, though, you know.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then one guy, he got up, one of the shorter speeches, I'm not sure what his name was, I can't remember. He was an older gentleman.
Uh-huh.
He got up there, he told 3 jokes, bam, I'm out. Thank you for my award.
That's my guy.
I'll see you guys later.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, 3 jokes, boom, I'm out.
I don't even know who the guy was, but he's my favorite.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Now, I asked you before the break, a guy like Jordan Matthews comes into this locker room again when the wide receivers have been struggling as much as they have. Is there any chance that is a kick in the butt to the rest of these guys, knowing that there's somebody else here that wants to take snaps away from me?
No, because, I mean, it's Jordan Howard. Because it's not like if you're bringing in like a...
You're not bringing in, you know, like Josh Gordon.
You're not bringing in AB. You're not bringing in someone that's like one of the top receivers in the game. I mean, you're bringing in Jordan Matthews that's already gone. They've already gone through this process before twice, two times over. So, you know, they're like, all right, cool. Welcome to the party. And Mac Hollins and the company, they're the ones that's probably like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, they don't want to be out there anyway, so.
See, it's funny because I was thinking about that if you brought in a higher profile type of receiver, Emmanuel Sanders even, right? Someone else that got moved at the deadline. If you bring in one of those guys, I wonder if a Nelson Agholor is almost relieved. Oh, there's the number one target. Everyone's going to be focused on what he's going to be doing in this offense. But a guy like Jordan Matthews is directly a shot, I believe, at Nelson Agholor. Because he's going to be a slot guy. He's going to be that type of receiver. If I'm Nelson Agholor, I know that my snaps are threatened the most. A guy like Alshon Jeffrey, I think that would catch his attention if they brought in Emmanuel Sanders. So I think it's more along the lines of Nelson Agholor. Hopefully, if he is at all a competitor, which Mike Groh wants to tell me time and time again he is, then a guy like Jordan Matthews should be the guy shaking him up a bit.
How? Who are you going to be your 3 receivers?
Alshon, Jordan Matthews, and then unfortunately Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, so that's how's that affected him at all?
Because he's a slot receiver, and so is Jordan Matthews.
Because I mean, you're still going to have to play Nelly outside.
Well, then that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
If Nelson Aguilar's attitude is whatever.
I don't know his mindset. I'm just saying. I don't think that it's going to make him feel like, you know, I need to tighten up because I'm feeling threatened. I don't think that's, yeah, he's.
I better get my you-know-what together.
I don't think that's going to be the problem.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah, you'd have to bring
that really sucks.
You'd have to bring in a big-name guy or some one of the top-tier receivers to kind of create that fire. I mean, they all know Jordan Matthews, and they know that he just got cut from San Fran.
Yeah, the undefeated team.
Yeah, so they're like,
this team ain't undefeated.
Antonio Brown's out there having Twitter meltdowns.
Oh, yeah, he's having them. tough time.
Yeah. he went race card in the NFL, Trey. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Does he ever want to play again? I don't think he ever wants to play again.
I mean, he says he's in done. The one tweet, it was like, I'm never going to play in this league again. Yeah. And then like 2 hours later, I think when reality set in, he was like, I'm sorry, I'm just frustrated. I miss football. I love it and I want to play again.
Yeah. The other part of that is, I don't think those English classes are going really well for him.
Yeah,
no.
It's like, damn, man. I thought you were going to English class again.
Yeah. Imagine how bad it would have been had he not gone to the English classes. Oof. Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough read, Mark.
Rasheem, West Philly, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? Hey,
what's happening, good? Brother?
Good. Do you know, like, since the time Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar have been on the same team, do you know they stats is almost exactly comparable, the same amount of drops? Almost the same amount of yards and almost the same amount of catches.
How many targets?
The targets, I was trying to get targeted a little bit more. But as far as like the production, it's almost equal. Yards per catch and everything. So I love
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.